Hello, bonjour, and welcome back to La Bonne Heure here on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Valley, like a valley, but spelt a little bit differently, and today I am so excited to be chatting with Joe from Big Scary, which is a duo that I've been listening to and been heavily influenced by in my music since I was probably like 13, 14 years old. So you guys can't even imagine how excited I am to be chatting with Joe. So before we get chatting, here is their song from their latest album, Daisy, and it's called Get Out.
I shouldn't break so easy. So please.
thanks so much again for coming in to chat. I'm here with Joe from Big Scary. I thought that we could start with a couple fun questions just to get the ball rolling, to get to know you a little bit more. Playing off the name Big Scary, I was wondering what the scariest dream or scariest experience you've ever had is.
Oh, I have like recurring scary dreams, maybe not so much now, but there's one where I think it was influenced from Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, and there's this ginormous seagull at the front door of my parents' house, like a vampire seagull, and it's just like trying to get in with like blood dripping, and yeah, it still scares me when I think about it. Because the thing about dreams, it's not the imagery that you're really reacting to, it's creating such an emotion inside of you. You know, like when you wake up and you've like been dating like your teacher in your dream, and you wake up and you think you've got a crush on your teacher or something super weird, and it's just like because the feelings are so strong. So
yeah,
that's probably the scariest dream. I can't think of an event that was really scary, you know, other than just like when you like decide there's someone under your bed waiting to kill you and you just like freeze.
We love that. That's always really cute, you know, when you're going to bed and you switch off the light on the other side of the room and then you have to long jump and hurdle yourself onto the bed. I relate. So the upcoming album is called Daisy. I was wondering what your favorite flower is.
Oh, God, that's a good question. I love sunflowers. They just make me smile when you look at them. But I do love daisies. Like they're just so like everywhere, and they're so cute and unassuming. And the reason, like the spark for the title was because I've moved to this new town, and I moved in spring, and like literally everywhere on every nature strip were these wild African daisies, and they're super colorful. And I couldn't help but feel quite buoyed by them. So that was sort of where that first spark came from for Daisy.
That's lovely. Are there any other meanings behind the name, or was it just the visuals?
Well, there's kind of two reasons why Daisy was kind of worked its way in. We actually had another working title for a while, and but it just didn't quite sit right, even though there was really good ideas behind it. But the reason Daisy sort of struck me was, one is that, as I was saying, it's this like ubiquitous and unassuming flower, and it kind of can get a bit overlooked. But if you do look at it, it's a miracle, like most beautiful things in nature. And kind of like this attitude of like anyone bothering to make something or create something is beautiful, and like maybe without judging how bad it is, but congratulations for the fact of doing it. And that was one of the approaches, like when we were making the album, was we sort of were questioning, why are we making music again? It had been a bit of a break. And the reason boiled down to, oh, because it's fun, you know, and it was sort of like, all right, no, it doesn't matter what the results are. It's just a fun activity. The other reason I liked Daisy is because as a child, I actually hated daisies. I had this craggy old grey bush at my grandparents' house that used to spike me. And now I love them. And I kind of thought it was interesting that something that I believed about myself strongly changed naturally without my thought, and sort of a reminder that like you might hold strong beliefs or hold judgments on things, and then you'll naturally evolve.
I'm not sure if you can notice, but when I was getting ready for the interview, I was thinking of, you know, little accessories and stuff, and I have this little necklace, and they kind of...
Oh, my God!
So I was very...
Oh, that's gorgeous!
It's like, perfect. It's like the opportunity to wear this necklace, so...
We had so many, like, cool merch ideas. We haven't done that much, but, like, because it's a bit of a 90s throwback time, right? And, like, the daisy print is a bit 90s too, and so we're like, oh, the bucket hats, and like, but anyway, yes. maybe down the line when we finally do some shows.
We love bucket hats.
Very yeah.
Anyway, and everything is the lay that gets in between us.
kisses are counting time to the next one. This time we're under the sheets and really, baby, I wanna make something else, something new, something different, something with you. Missing the man when it's time to stand up. I feel the pressure like I hear music. I'm only doing the best I can, the best I can. I am trying the best I can.
So you mentioned that you've been making music for a long time together. How did you and Tom meet and decide to become a duo?
Well, we met through a mutual friend back in 2009, so 15 years ago. Tom was, we were both in other bands, like kind of indie rock bands, and Tom was looking to put together just a kind of regular four-piece band for his solo material. And so I was the first name he got, and he literally turned up on my doorstep with a guitar in hand, and we were just sort of like, hello. And then we just never ended up getting the extra band members. I think we were just enjoying what we were doing together. And that was literally it. I think we had met once at a party before through the similar mutual friends that gave him my number. But yeah, it was a bit of a blind date type setup kind of thing. So yeah.
Nice. Do you have a best show versus maybe not worst, but weirdest show?
I definitely know the weirdest show. We were supporting a band in our nation's capital called Canberra, and this weird pub we were playing at. And I recall at the start of the night it was already weird because the gig was on the second floor and there was a wraparound balcony of this pub. We'd parked and loaded in, and someone's like, I wouldn't leave my car there. I'm like, what? Like, because we parked under the balcony. They're like, nah, people will throw bottles at your car. So we... all right, okay, this is that type of venue. And then we were playing, and there was this super, super drunk chick in the audience. She, like, kept heckling and jumping on stage, and then eventually she like jumped on the stage and jumped on Tom for a piggyback whilst he's trying to play the guitar. And the security was just standing there, like absolutely not doing a thing. And I think their excuse was like, oh, we thought she was your friend. It was so strange. And just like, yeah, Canberra in general is a bit of a strange place. But so that was the weirdest one. And then the best gig, I was really stoked. We played this venue in Melbourne, our hometown, called the Forum Theatre. It's just beautiful. So it was kind of a bucket list wanting to play that venue. And it's got this beautiful domed roof, and it's sort of painted sky blue with all these stars. And it's got these great Greek statues everywhere. And it had just been renovated, so it was a bit bigger. And it was just mind-blowing walking out there and seeing the crowd. And the gig rushed by. I couldn't believe it. We played for well over an hour, and I just couldn't believe it was over. It was the quickest gig, but really, really special.
That's nice. That sounds like a really beautiful venue, and quite a contrast to the other one, definitely.
Yeah.
For those of you who are just tuning in, my name is Vali, and you are currently listening to Lab on Air here on CITR 101.9 FM, chatting with Joe from Big Scary today, and here is their song, Thinking About You.
Shade in between, you were a paperback.
you've been making music for a while. How has your music evolved since the release of your first album?
It was certainly more folk influenced in the beginning. Banjos, acoustic guitars, ukuleles. Gradually the electric guitar kind of got introduced, and then we sort of started playing more piano-based songs. And I think, like, I kind of think of it even more where Vacation, one of our early albums, was sort of more of a guitar album, and then Not Art was more of a piano-led album. Animal was maybe more organ. There's a lot of weird, kooky organ sounds. And then this one, Daisy, is much more like from the synthesizer, from the Roland Juno 106, a bit more bubbly, fun type instrument. So I think it's often like the gear that we're using at the time that will inform the song. But I think we've remained fairly like eclectic, which was like a strength and a challenge for people, like a strength in that, you know, most people do like lots of different genres, but also a challenge in terms of like the marketing side of like lots of people. If you listen to two different songs on Spotify, you know, one you could hate and one you could love, because they could be quite different. And so, you know, depending on which song someone clicks on first, it might not be their cup of tea. But I think that's always going to be the case where we're writing different things. But I think we've caught up a lot in the way we want to write together. Tom's always been miles ahead of me, but this time was very equal and way less pressure this time as well. Like, we were just really letting the fun and the flow and not overthinking things a lot. So that was a really fun change for this album.
You mentioned marketing. I saw that you made a video on how to make a candle. A date.
Yeah.
Is the dog included in that candle purchase? Is that something?
I think she's here on the ground chewing at a shoe sole, classic dog behavior. Yeah, she's our new puppy. But the candles are so fun. I got into candle making, and so hopefully that's like a merch item. Annoyingly, the shipping is so expensive because candles are so heavy. But unfortunately, I cannot share Elkie with every pre-order.
We would love a dog cameo if she ever gets up.
Come here, Elkie. Elkie, come here. Come here. She just like comes when you don't want her, and she will never come to me when you do want her later.
So I was wondering what the themes and, you know, general topics are in the songs that people can expect in Daisy. Oh,
here she is. There, she just jumped up. Oh, come on, Elkie. Very sweet. Bit of a devil at times, but mostly very sweet. Some of the themes of the album. I think it's so funny because we never pre-plan what we're going to write about, and the lyrics always come at the end after the music. A lot of it's just about relationships and a bit about whether it's a relationship with your lover or a friend, or even relationship with your internal, you know, the voices in your head, I suppose. And I think some of it's kind of trying to compare cliches or naive or simplified versions of love and Hollywood versions of love with reality, which is like, you know, partnerships are challenging and you've got to compromise, and it's not the one person might exist, but you have to grow together for it to work. It's not set and forget. So trying to sort of transcend beyond like immature, lustful visions of love and the kind of trying to arrive at the more mature day-to-day realities of love and living with yourself as well.
You are currently tuned in to La Bonne Heure here on CITR with myself, Valley, chatting to Joe from Big Scary today. And up next we have top two favorite songs by Big Scary. Personally, here is Luck Now.
Repetition me down.
Mentioned that some mistakes were left in the music during the creation of it. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so we try to do full live takes where we can of the beds, which is usually the drums and the synth or the drums and the piano or whatever. We do have to layer up a lot of things, and I won't lie and say we don't fix some things, but an engineer and we have infinite time in the studio because it doesn't cost us anything. So there are bits where the shaker and the hi-hat are out of time, or the snare is early or late, or, you know, like, I mean, I certainly feel it when it's the drums, because it interrupts the flow. And you can go in and edit every single beat to make them super, super neat. You know, you're just like cutting and pasting on the computer screen. But we shied away from that because the whole idea of Big Scary being Tom and Joe, and this is the performances of Tom and Joe when they get together. And so there, yeah, we tried to leave in as much of that kind of push and pull of feel as possible, and perhaps like even bits where the singing isn't perfect or the claps are out of time, that type of thing.
Would you say that this album, in both the recording and the sound, but also in the topics, is more intimate or maybe less intimate than other albums?
Strangely less intimate, because it's sort of meant to signify more universal relationships rather than our personal relationships. We actually did a photo shoot for the sort of rollout of the announcement of the album, and Tom and I are wearing masks, and we have these other people come in, other couples come in wearing masks, and it was sort of meant to be, you know, these aren't specific characters, this can be anybody, so place yourself in there if you find that spot. I mean, I definitely, they have to come from experience or truth, otherwise I just don't think songs connect, unless you're an amazing creative author. Yeah, it's meant to be more less about our own personal experiences.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a little bit of how the album was recorded, but where did you record it?
In Collingwood, in the city of Melbourne. And Collingwood's a little, it used to be a very working class inner city suburb, and now it's been gentrified and very coolsy. But we're lucky enough to have our own studio that we built from the dirt up there. And it's awesome. We designed it so that the control room's upstairs, you know, monitor station downstairs, where we just hit space bar and then we can both perform together. And it meant that we didn't have to have an external engineer in the room. It was literally just the two of us. So yeah, we just had all the time that we wanted. I don't recall exactly how many days we were in. And Tom actually taught me how to do a bit of editing in Pro Tools. And so I was recording him and I was arranging the tracks together and stuff. It was really cool.
I mentioned that I had a top two big scary favorite songs. So here is the second one in that top two category. Here is Bad Friends. And so you've already put out the video of your song Breaking at the Seams, even though the song's coming out with the rest of the album on the 30th.
Yep.
What's the story behind that video? You compared it to like a Shakespeare play in a way.
Oh, the Shakespeare reference is because lyrically, at the start of Romeo and Juliet, Romeo is, he's like pining, not because he's in love with Rosalind, but he, or Rosamond, which one is it? But he just wants to be in love. He's obsessed with the idea of love. That's kind of this character in the song where they could have fallen in love with anyone. Like they, it's that, that exciting thing when you meet somebody. But then there's a, like a little twist where when you actually get the partner, there's, it's not all happy days. You've got to compromise, sort of what we were talking about earlier with the themes. So that's the reference to Shakespeare. But the video, so like sonically, I was really referencing a bit of a mix of Channel Trey's The Flaming Lips and Donna Summer for this song. And there's even maybe like lyrically a nod to Donna Summer. And so this kind of retro roller skating thing seemed like the right idea. Like I always pictured it in a roller skating rink. And our director was amazing. She took it to maybe a more 80s world, inspired by like Gene Kelly and Frank Sinatra's sort of dance sequences and a little bit of I, Tonya, where it's this kind of like underdog who fights to be, you know, so skilled. We found the best location out in our outer suburbs of this really beautifully preserved retro looking roller skate rink. And they were really friendly and helpful. So yeah, that's just come out today. Just because I think like it's a fun video and we could have waited till Friday, but it's nice to sort of like give people an extra song before the, you know, a third single before the album is out as well.
Definitely, especially with the videos and the visuals, it's always really fun.
Yeah.
Stay.
album, or maybe from your entire time with Big Scary, if you had a favorite lyric?
Whoa. God, I can't remember. Oh, I do love Over Matter is a song from Animal. And hilariously, I got this lyric wrong and I made a T-shirt because they're Tom's lyrics. And I drew this picture and I made a T-shirt quoting this lyric and it was like so wrong and Tom didn't even notice until we printed all the T-shirts. But the correct lyric is, I feel like I need to look it up, but is my brain just a clock to remind me to sleep and to wake and to piss and to fuck, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's a really heady song and there's like a whole lot of album wise it's sort of looking at like what is the ego, what is the subconscious, where is self-determination, you know, where does that all fit in? And I just thought that is my brain just a clock, am I just a computer? I just really loved that.
And do you have a favorite sound?
What do I love sound wise I do really love on this new album the Juno, which is on basically every song, but in the fourth track called Love to Love, it's just a really nice warm synth sound, and it's really like calm and soothing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's my favorite sound. I mean, it's probably others, but that's the most recent one on my head that I can think of.
Okay, wonderful. So the album's coming out, and what's next after that?
Well, we'll probably do some shows just in Australia in August, September, so a little bit of a wait. We haven't played live for years, and when we last did, we were a five-piece, like we had friends on stage playing with us. Mm. We're going to see if we can do it as a two-piece again, like the early days. We shall see. But, yeah, it'll just be fun to, like, get in the studio and figure out how to play all these songs and the back catalogue live again. And I think we want to keep writing. We've got a bit of material. So, yeah, I think that's some more music hopefully will be on the cards. I don't know when, but yeah, it'll be nice to just keep that going. We had such a good time.
Wonderful. Hopefully when you come out with new stuff, I can maybe chat to you again and see how the dog's grown.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so nice. Yeah, that'd be lovely. She's only 4.5 months now, so that would be like perfect.
That would be lovely. Well, wonderful. Thank you so much. It's been lovely chatting to you. Very excited for the album.
Thank you. So nice to chat to you.
Yeah. seeing stars.
Can't touch.
Skin to skin's a spark.
What's it gonna be? Will you be something to me?
Absolute pleasure getting to chat with Joe from Big Scary. Make sure to check out their latest album, Daisy, which came out a couple weeks ago now. It is beautiful as always. And before we end today's show, I have a couple more songs for you here today. Up first, we have Types of People by Born Ruffians, followed by Night Waves by Chad Van Garlen.
Looks like you lost in thought. Got in your head and then you were.
One last song for us here today, Ashes to Ashes by Kathleen Edwards is up next. But right before that, I want to wish you a wonderful rest of your day, evening, night, wherever you're tuning in from. Thank you so much for listening and see you soon. Bye.
Ashes to ashes, I'm just dust. All the animals that I've loved will die someday, and so will I. I get scared to say goodbye. Ashes to ashes, I'm just mad that someone like you is taken like that. And no one in this room could say we'll feel better if we pray. 'Cause I'm on